Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. And I'm back in the saddle here on this Friday, January 11th, 2018. It feels good to be back, folks. I've been out throughout this week due to a wedding celebration out on the West Coast, out in Las Vegas. I had a great time, but, you know, as I always say, coming back from a break here on Current Sports, I got to admit, near the end of the break, I was just ready to get back to you guys. You know, I'm such a workaholic. I love what I do. And especially this was such a big week in the world of sports because of the national championship. Of course, the MSU men's basketball team in action, the women as well. And then some breaking news occurred yesterday evening that stopped this area in its tracks. All right. So it was just a crazy, crazy busy week. And, you know, as I just noted, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to get behind the mic now. All right, because we got a lot to get to. I got a lot I want to get off my chest. And, you know, yesterday, my flight was around like noon, but that's like West Coast time, which, you know, in Vegas, that's a 3-hour time difference. So it was around noon Vegas time, but like it was like 3:40 something, you know, here. And I didn't see until, you know, we took off and, you know, I'm in the air for about like 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours. And, you know, we're about to land. And, you know, when you land, as soon as you land, it's so funny when you're on the plane because everybody immediately goes back to their regularly scheduled programming with their smartphones. Right. And, you know, you finally get cell service. And that was me. I opened up my phone and, you know, connected back to the world. And I go on Twitter, and everybody's talking about Michigan State football. And I'm like, hold on, did I miss something? You know, did Mark D'Antonio have like an end-of-the-year press conference? I mean, because, you know, the bowl game is set and done now. We talked about that. And, you know, of course, there was a lot of chatter about some off-season moves that could possibly happen in light of what was a very, very bad. And, I'm putting it lightly by saying very, very bad. Very bad outing for the offense this year. This team underperforming well below many people's expectations, including myself. You know, I really thought this was going to be the year that Mark was going to make some real change to his coaching staff. So, but it puzzled me. I'm like, all right, it's January 10th. You know, I looked at my email a few days prior to yesterday and, you know, didn't get any heads up as far as a media availability for Mark D'Antonio. But then, lo and behold, I check my email for that day. And that's when it came through from the sports information directors that Mark would be holding a press conference to address something. And there were no specifics in the email about what the press conference was going to be about. So, you know, as I go on Twitter and I'm scrolling, I mean, many people were talking about Michigan State football, and many, frankly, at least the followers that I have, weren't happy with whatever this press conference revealed. And at first, I just started seeing some GIFs out there of people just, you know, like, what, huh? Like, confused. And then eventually, I got to the news that Mark D'Antonio decided to basically just reshuffle his coaching staff. No fires, no new hire, just reassigning titles to the current staff that he has on the roster. And I just said to myself, that's so D'Antonio, right? I mean, that's so Coach D. Coach D'Antonio does not fire. Coach D'Antonio is loyal. Loyal to a fault. And I just really thought that when you have an offense that's ranked 116, the 116th offense out of 129 FBS teams, that would have led to some real change. But no. This is Mark D'Antonio basically saying that I'm riding or dying with my guys. Sure, because the big conversation that many Spartan fans have had this year is that Dave Warner needed to go. Or Dave Warner needed to be in a different role. Not the one calling the plays as co-offensive coordinator. That role needed to go somewhere else, to someone else. And that's exactly what happened, but not in the way that many Spartan fans are happy about. Not, and I totally get it, because I'm with you. I'm with you. When you have an offense that is that historically bad, an offense that barely could score against lowly Rutgers, the unwanted stepchild of the Big Ten, an offense that looked totally incoherent in that Red Box Bowl out in Santa Clara, California, against the Oregon Ducks. Couldn't score a touchdown. Lost 7-6. A world-class defense, a national championship-caliber defense, spoiled because the offense was so inept. I thought that with all that being said, that would have led to some real change. And we look at the broader picture here. I mean, what now, two of the last three seasons, Michigan State football has grossly underperformed. Thought would have led to real change, but that's it led to change. It led to change. But I don't know if we can call this real change. So if you haven't heard, Brad Salem is taking over as Michigan State's offensive coordinator, as Coach Mark D'Antonio has now rearranged several roles on his staff. Now, again, there's no firings here. There are no new hires. But several assistants will be in different jobs come the 2019 college football year. So Brad Salem now moves from quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator. Now, he will also coach the running backs as well. But Brad Salem is going to be the guy now punching the tickets and dialing up plays for Michigan State football. Now, when it concerns Dave Warner and also Jim Bowman, both holding this, I don't know what Jim Bowman does, though, man. The co-offensive coordinator role, let's just be real. From what we saw, Dave was the guy. He was the offensive coordinator. But the co-offensive coordinator role when it comes to Dave Warner and Jim Bowman, which was weird in the first place, that's no longer now for those two. And, Dave being the primary play caller, that's no more for him. So Warner will move into Salem's role coaching the quarterbacks. And that makes sense because, you know, Dave Warner, that's the capacity he began with at Michigan State. I mean, if you remember, Dave Warner helped groom Kirk Cousins when Kirk Cousins was here. And Jim Bowman, who is very comfortable in this role, manning the offensive line, Bowman will now coach the offensive line. And I think that Jim Bowman is a pretty solid. His track record shows that he is a pretty solid offensive line coach. Now, when it comes to the previous offensive line coach and Mark Staten, Staten will now move to tight ends, and he will help coordinate special teams. So Mark Staten moves from offensive line coach to coaching the tight ends and also working with the special teams. Assistant defensive backs coach Don Treadwell will now move to wide receivers. And wide receivers coach Terrence Samuel will help coach the secondary. And of course, you know, not no news concerning the defense. I mean, that's Mike Tressels, and Mike did a pretty solid job last year for Michigan State. So this effectively is musical chairs. Mark D'Antonio knew he had to do something, and I think his hand was forced to do something because the proof is in the pudding. This offense was horrible. And if Mark D'Antonio didn't do anything, it would be bad leadership, period, on his part. So, what does a guy like Mark D'Antonio do when he is so loyal, when he loves his guys, when he historically does not fire? I mean, I thought, you know, one or two things was going to happen here. I stated 2 weeks ago that, you know, wouldn't it be so D'Antonio-esque just for Coach D to just rearrange things, not fire anybody, but just kind of rearrange things and bring in a new, fresh voice to the offense. I thought Coach D was going to hire somebody. But it is really D'Antonio-esque just to reassign this role to someone who is already currently on his coaching staff. And basically with this move, Mark D'Antonio is saying, I'm all in on my guys. You know that old saying I use all the time, ride or die? I just used it. Mark D'Antonio is going to ride or die with the guys who are currently on his coaching staff. And, you know, right now it's very easy. I am like you. I was disappointed when I watched the press conference and when this news came out. Because I thought it would have been nice for Michigan State football to just to have a new, fresh voice come in and bring some perspective to the holes in the boat when it comes to the offensive game plan for Michigan State football. But to just reshuffle things around and move Brad Salem into the offensive coordinator position, keeping things in-house, basically, not thrilled about that. And I'll say this, though. I'll temper my emotions to a degree because at the end of the day, we have to see if because this is change. This isn't a change that I expected or that many Spartan fans wanted. But we can only judge this move based on how the offense performs next season. So I'm not going to sit up here and say that the offense is going to be atrocious next year. I'm not going to do that. I think that Mark D'Antonio has earned the right, especially in this perspective here, when you look at his track record of success, the Big Ten championships, the Rose Bowl championship, the bowl wins, the trip to the college football playoff. I mean, Mark D'Antonio is going to go down as the winningest MSU football coach of all time. And his legacy is pretty stout. So I think he's earned the right that when he decides to keep it in-house with this move and move things offensively to Brad Salem, I think he's earned the right to at least, for fans, to at least just let it play out and then base your assumption or judgment from there. But I tell you what, if Mark D'Antonio fails here, and if this does indeed prove to be the wrong move, and if this offense continues in 2019 to look incoherent, to look out of rhythm, just to look plain bad, then Mark D'Antonio deserves criticism and then some. I think with this move, and some people will call it stubborn as well, you know, Coach D is loyal to a fault, man, sometimes. He really is. If MSU football fails next season, his track record, his legacy, if you will, is in jeopardy. It really is. And it may be the thing that, you know, if Mark is going to walk away from the game anytime soon, if the problems persist on the offensive side of the football this upcoming year, This may be the thing that ushers Coach D out. It may be, folks. Now, will Coach D'Antonio get fired? No. You know, Bill Beekman is still figuring out the job as athletic director. And Mark D'Antonio, with everything that he's done here at Michigan State, he's not going to get fired. But I could see Coach D stepping down if things don't work. This is that kind of move, folks. This is that kind of a move. 116 out of 129? You got to make moves in the offseason that are going to prove to be successful that next year. And if they aren't, this is how serious the conversation can get. Now, when it comes to Brad Salem, you know, and I also thought about this as well. It's like, all right, if you're just going to just reshuffle the deck here and just place different titles on different names, I mean, why wasn't this move made midway through the year? You know, things were bad then. Why wait until after the season? You know, if you had any shot and you realize that there are serious problems with this offense, if you realize that at some point, you know, from mid to late in the year, why not reshuffle the deck then? But again, Coach D'Antonio probably just wanted things to just play out the way they've played out, and wanted to at least give Dave Warner the chance to just finish out the season, I guess, but puzzling. When it comes to Brad Salem, though, now, you know, Brad has had experience calling plays. You know, he was a 2011 hire who came from Division II, Augustana College in South Dakota, where he was a pretty successful head coach, and that offense scored a lot of points. Now, when it comes to the offensive philosophy that Brad Salem coached at that D2 college, it was more so a spread offense. Now, that's you're not going to see that with Coach D'Antonio's offense under Brad Salem. It's still going to be a pro-style offense for sure. I'm just giving you the track record of what Brad Salem, the kind of success that he had while at this D2 college out in South Dakota. You know, Salem, he's been in a role like this before, you know, as a head coach. But I you know, there's a lot of pressure on him now next season. You know, you talk about the leash that Salem has. That leash is very short. It is a 1-year leash. Okay? That's pressure. Is it fair? Probably not. But, you know, that's the kind of bed that Mark D'Antonio and his coaching staff has made. And now Brad Salem is the guy who has to lie in it. I mean, if you're Dave Warner, I mean, you got to be saying, oof, all right, oof. You know, you're not getting a deduction in pay. Salary stay the same. And now you can just move back to coaching the quarterbacks. Dave Warner, you got to be feeling good today, man. The pressure is now off of you. And that pressure, that weight of the world that you had on your shoulders goes on the shoulders now of Brad Salem. So, yeah, that's the background when it comes to Brad. And, you know, when you look at the reshuffling here, I think that, you know, some nice things were done here. You know, I like that Jim Bowman is taking over the offensive line. I think that's a natural fit for him. I think Dave Warner, again, he's had success as quarterbacks coach. That's a natural fit for him. You know, Staten moving to the tight ends and special teams, I think that's a good move for him as well. I like everything here. I just don't know if this move is going to immediately start to bear fruit for Michigan State's offense. And that's the big thing. And, you know, if it doesn't, I think that we seriously have to start questioning the leadership of Mark D'Antonio. And in the conversations that you're going to have to start to hear, a lot of people have, and they've already been having it, to be honest. When I was on social media reading these different takes from the Spartan fan base out there, a lot of people are asking whether or not the game is past Mark D'Antonio. You know, it's kind of the same conversation that we had with Tom Izzo after the early round exit in the NCAA tourney at the hands of Syracuse last year in March, almost a year ago. There's a lot of pressure on Coach D right now. And I think that a lot of fans out there, and I want to point this out as well, you have to look at the big picture here as well. Excuse me, because it wasn't just Dave Warner and him not having a firm control when it comes to calling plays of this offense, and this offense just totally looking just lost at times. But, you know, this is an offense that had a lot of injuries as well. You know, that offensive line was not great. A lot of injuries on that offensive line, failed to open up any running lanes for any kind of running attack for Michigan State football. And then the whole quarterback controversy. You know, it's kind of hard in defensive, in some kind of defensive Dave Warner here last season. It's kind of hard to have success as a play caller if you don't have a quarterback who's 100%. And again, I felt like Dave Warner just reading his body language, reading the tea leaves in those press conferences, I felt like Dave wanted Rocky in to start a lot of those games. And Coach D'Antonio said, look, man, yeah, you know, what Brian has built here at Michigan State, you know, he's had success here. He's our guy, even though he was not 100%. And that's not fair to Dave Warner. I mean, when you're trying to call an offense, when you know that your quarterback has a bum shoulder, I mean, come on now. That ties his hands a bit. And then when we saw, I mean, we saw shades of brilliance from Rocky Lombardi. I mean, I go back to the Purdue game. That was awesome, right? But Rocky still has some growing to do. So there's question marks right now, even for this upcoming year, when it comes to the quarterback position, the most important position on the football field. So if I'm Brad Salem, man, I mean, my heart will be pumping right now. I'd be a bit nervous right now, you know, because I know that if I don't get this offense to a good place right off the bat come next season, oh boy, the mood here in East Lansing is going to get worse if you think it's bad now. But I want to hear from you guys out there. What are your thoughts on yesterday's press conference? Is it what you expected? Because I really didn't know either. I mean, when I saw that, you know, the email, and I'm trying to guess, okay, what is everybody talking about? When I landed here back in Michigan, and I thought, oh man, what is Mark D'Antonio thinking about retiring, or is he, you know, outside of the whole coordinator stuff, is he thinking about retiring? And because I know he just lost his mom as well, you know, and that could do a lot to you. In hindsight, just evaluating life, I didn't know. But after hearing this news, how are you feeling about next year's Michigan State football team? And do you think this is the right move? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call. You can go to facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below the live stream. Real quick, I'm getting a comment here. This comes from Ben. Ben says, I have mixed emotions about yesterday's coaching staff shakeup for the football team. I was disappointed Dave Warner didn't get terminated, but he is a QB coach, and that is where he should have stayed on the coaching staff to begin with. But it is what it is. Hopefully Dave Warner doesn't trash our quarterbacks because he certainly trashed our offense over the last several seasons. Other than that, I am okay with the moves that were made yesterday. I do wish that they would have brought someone in from the outside, but it is what it is. Got to trust Coach D for the time being, and if it doesn't work out, then Coach D should be on the hot seat. And, yeah, I think, you know, Ben, I think your take is a take that many Spartan fans have. That's how you feel right now, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, like that, still a line from the great Janet Jackson, you know, it's a what have you done for me lately business. And, you know, I understand legacy and the track record of success that Mark D'Antonio has had, but it's been a minute now. It's been a minute. Sure, last season was great. That was a great rebound year, flipped the script. But now two of the last three seasons, Michigan State has underperformed. Before I get to our headliners right now, it feels so good to be back, ladies and gents. Behind the glass, I want to give a big shout out to our three fantastic engineers and PAs of the show. Alec Rio, Jack Kerwin, and our current engineer for this Friday edition of Current Sports, Connor Mathis. Thank you guys for holding down the fort these last 4 days. Connor, good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you too. No problem. The last couple shows have been interesting. We had yesterday was NFL coaching carousel, so that was fun.
I'm sure what you guys are big NFL guys, because I got a chance to tune in on Monday's show, and just about like the whole the first 40 minutes were recapping the wild card weekend. And just for the record, how about them Cowboys, baby? I'm feeling good, Connor. I'm feeling, regardless of what happens this weekend,
you guys got a good chance,
and we got a good chance. I think we got a good chance.
If it makes you feel good, Jack picked you guys to upset, and I'm on the fence of picking you guys. I don't
really
know. I don't trust Jared Goff.
You don't trust Jared Goff? Yeah, we play the L.A. Rams, and I'm just excited, man. Just to get to this point, I never thought I'd be talking about my Cowboys the second weekend of the NFL playoffs, but, you know, here we are. But before we hit this first break, I want to get you. You've heard my thoughts for the last 25 minutes, Connor. I want to know, first off, how did you find out about this news? And what did you think this presser was going to be about? And is it the right move? Is it the right move? Did Coach D'Antonio do the right thing here?
All right, so I actually found out about it probably a little bit after I got done with my last class. There was a tweet that was put out, I think it was by Graham Couch, I want to say, or someone else.
I believe it was Graham that first, you know, reported from a source that, you know, it was just going to be some reshuffling.
It was someone. I remember seeing Graham Couch tweet there was going to be a press conference, and there was some other. It was a woman who had tweeted out her sort that the sources were saying that it was going to be a shakeup of offense of some sort. No one had said anything about reshuffling or anything, and then Graham came back and got his source, obviously. But I'll start with what I like about it. I like that at least the new offensive coordinator has a background in something that isn't a pro offense, because there are spread concepts that you can import into a pro style offense that make it gives you a little more unpredictability. Mm-hmm. Even though I do not like Dave Warner, I think him going back to quarterbacks coach is, if you were going to keep him on staff, that's where he has to be. Like you kind of alluded to, him and Rocky Lombardi are really on the same page, I think, going forward. I think that's a plus. An underrated one that kind of flew under the radar and didn't have to do with the offense is that Tressel got promoted to assistant head coach.
Yeah, assistant head coach, right. Exactly.
I think that's a big move for me. I think I think he's got the head coaching kind of makeup. So I really like that move, and I think that move was a little underappreciated. But
yeah,
back to the offense. I wish they would have at least entertained someone from outside.
Right.
At least, even if you bring him on as what Nick Saban does, a special advisor to the offensive core, a special advisor, whatever you want to call it, whatever fluff position, someone who has a perspective outside of East Lansing,
mm-hmm,
to maybe say, you know, maybe running it up the middle 40 times a game isn't the way to win.
I feel like when you don't do that, and you keep everything in house, you can get a bit clouded. You know what I mean? Just having a fresh pair of eyes look at this offense. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I'm totally with you on that, Connor.
And I also agree. I agree with Ben's take there. I think 2016, Mark D'Antonio got. There were plenty of excuses why he. I don't think that really hit him too hard. You know, the locker room was a mess.
Yeah,
you had
drama with the football players.
You had drama with the football players on off the field, and you lost a lot of talent. I mean, okay, fine. 2016, that was a fluke. This year, I think these moves are okay. Well, D'Antonio's done these great things for MSU's program. I think this is like kind of his past is able to cover some of these mistakes.
Right.
If it happens next year, though, I completely agree. I think he's going to be on the hot seat. I don't know if he's going to be fired or if it's going to be one of those things where if he fails next year again, I don't know if it's necessarily hard firing, because a lot of times I think that's a bad look, especially if you're Bill Beekman.
He may step down,
or right. They might mutually agree to part ways. That's an NFL. The NFL term is they mutually agreed to part ways. It might be something of that nature.
And wouldn't that be just a horrible end to such a great run here at Michigan State? What I want to do, let's hit our first break now, Connor. I want to take your calls. What are your thoughts on yesterday's press conference? Basically just a reshuffling of titles here when it comes to Michigan State and the coaching staff. Brad Salem now walks into the role of offensive coordinator for Michigan State football. What are your thoughts on that? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have just wrapped up segment A, and of course, we are addressing yesterday's breaking press conference that occurred yesterday evening at the Tom and Loopy Izzo Media Center at Spartan Stadium. Mark D'Antonio just, you know, reshuffling things with his coaching staff. Brad Salem is now the new offensive coordinator of Michigan State football. I want to get your thoughts on that. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. And we've got a treat for you guys. Wanted to hold on to this until just now. But we've got Lorenzo White that is going to join me on the air in just a moment for the very first time. Lorenzo White, former Michigan State football great. He's headed to the College Football Hall of Fame. Pretty big stuff there. Pretty big stuff, folks. But I also want to pass this along to you guys. I'm getting some questions. My final thought on, you know, Michigan State football and Mark D'Antonio just reassigning roles and putting Brad Salem into the offensive coordinator position here. I'm getting a lot of questions from you guys right now as to why Mark D'Antonio didn't bring in an outside hire. And Coach D'Antonio went on to say, if you watch the presser, he went on to say that it would take him a month to, you know, make a hire. And if he did turn over the keys to someone else, and he's a control freak, and let's just say it didn't work out, he'd be pretty mad. So he'd rather go with the guys that he knows. He'd rather ride or die with the guys who are on his staff right now. And, you know, whatever happens from there, it happens. He went on to say, quote, "I'm a foxhole guy. I don't apologize for that in any respect." Then, you know, when it comes to keeping his guys around, he went on to say, quote, "We've been good on one side of the ball. We need to be better on the other. I really don't want to start the process over again and bring in some unknown guy with some unknown staff. I don't think the situation warrants that." That's what Coach D had to say when it comes to why he didn't hire a name from the outside. And I just don't like that answer. At the end of the day, if your current guys aren't getting the job done, why not? Because it'll take you a month? Because you may not trust that person? I mean, come on, man. That's a bad answer to that question. It just really is. So we'll see what happens. You know, only time will tell, you know, what kind of move this is for Michigan State football. Right now, I want to get to our guest. You know, as I just mentioned, news broke not too long ago that this man, this pretty big name in the world of Michigan State sports, has been elected to the College Football Hall of Fame. Folks, I am talking about Michigan State's all-time leading rusher, a two-time first-team All-American. He is the most accomplished running back in the history of the Michigan State football program, ranking first in the school record books in rushing yards at 4,887, first in rushing attempts at 1,082, first in rushing touchdowns at a 43 clip, and 100-yard games. He had 23 of those. Lorenzo White, you are on Current Sports. How you feeling, my man?
I'm doing just fine. How's everything going with you?
It's great, Lorenzo. First off, I want to know how you got the call that you would be elected to the College Football Hall of Fame. Is this something that you knew eventually would come around?
Yes, I knew it would come around, but just didn't know when.
Gotcha.
The call was, I got a call, and it went like this. It was like, can you send your address into, you know, the sports at Michigan State? So I sent them my address, and they said something will be coming in the mail that you're gonna surprised and very happy with.
Wow! So MSU Athletics wanted your address, and you submitted the address,
yeah.
And. So what did you get in the mail, Lorenzo? Was it a letter? Was it a plaque? What was it?
I come home. I forgot something. So I came back home and I knew they said it would come, but you know, it was just going to be regular mail. So when I got to my front door, I seen this box sitting on the step and it didn't say anything, not where it was from. And it had my name on it. So I opened it, and it said, welcome to one of the elite group of, you know, of guys. And it went on to say, congratulations to the 2019 College Hall of Fame.
Wow. So, wow, Lorenzo. So I have to know, when you open that box and you're reading this, one, are you alone? And two, what's going through your head? Did you shed a tear or did you kind of go crazy?
When I seen that, I was like, wow. I was like, it finally happened.
Right.
I mean, I think when I was up, I did that make the 10th time.
Right. but you know, and that's why I've always been curious. When I talk to individuals like yourself, Lorenzo, who have accomplished something that not too many human beings who have played sports get the honor to receive this honor to go to the Hall of Fame. You know, I'm wondering, Lorenzo. I mean, is it one of those things when the years were passing by, and as you just stated, I mean, you knew that eventually you were going to be elected to the College Football Hall of Fame. When you look at the years that have passed, do you feel a certain type of way about how long it's taken?
I guess I really. Don't, you know, because I looked at a couple of people that was on the ballot that I thought was probably going to make it,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't make it. And I'm looking, and, you know, I say that because I keep saying, like, when is it going to happen? And when I opened the box and seen, and I just thought about the people that I knew was on the ballot, and when I seen Eric Dixon's name on it, I was like, okay, well, I can't be mad.
Right. It's like, man, I can't argue with that then, right? Oh, man, that's hilarious. Yeah. So Lorenzo.
That,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so after that, I was pretty good.
That's awesome stuff. So Lorenzo, I mean, you know, you're going to the College Football Hall of Fame now. When you told your family and your friends about this honor, or when they may have found out online, I'm curious. I mean, what was their reaction to the news, and what kind of outpouring and outreach, I should say, have you heard since this was announced?
I mean, I promise you, last Monday when it hit ESPN, my phone didn't stop ringing, and my text messages didn't stop coming. I mean, all the way until now. I mean,
wow. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, so many people with their support, you know, long overdue, you know, this, you know, but I mean, you're there, you know, so, and I mean, all the support from everybody, you know, I thank them, and as well, you know, especially my teammate, you know, I mean, I always, you know, what I did was I kind of like pretty much, I sent the ball to them, you know, because we weren't supposed to, you know, it was supposed to break on ESPN, so I just took a picture of the ball and didn't say anything.
Oh, wow. That's great stuff, Lorenzo. And you know what? There's so many, you know, like you said, your teammates. I mean, there's so many teammates and coaches that you, you know, give credit to when you accomplish something like this. Because even though it's an individual honor, there are many people that contributed to your success.
Yes.
You know, when you reflect on your career at Michigan State and you know, those numbers, the most accomplished running back in the history of this program, which names, which people come to mind the most?
Well, I mean, you know, I always, you know, think Coach Perlis, because, you know, he was the coach and he was the one guy that was instrumental in me coming to Michigan State. And, you know, for a coach, when you're being recruited, those are some of the things that, you know, when a coach says what he said when he recruited, when he recruits you, and he followed his word, and that's, he did that. He was a man of his word.
Definitely. Which teammates, Lorenzo?
I got all kinds, you know. I mean, when I'm looking at that, because, you know, I say it like this. All the wide receivers, they threw a block. Linemen, they block. Quarterback threw a block. Everybody had a helping hand at some point. And including the defense, because when you know, the success that I was having, you know, they were right along with me, you know, trying to get the ball so I can break pretty much, you know, we were trying to break all the records that we could at that time. You know, with the exception of my junior year getting hurt in the knee, I think we were on course.
Right. For sure. That's very true, Lorenzo. And you know what? And going back real quick to the messages, and now your phone hasn't stopped blowing up since the announcement was made. Who are some of the names that have reached out to you? Some of the most memorable text messages or calls you received?
Andre Rison, Mark Ingram, you know, and some other guys like the linemen. They reached out and, you know, by text, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, saying that they'll be, you know, they're going to be to the ceremony, you know, at the school, and that, you know, and that's what I want everybody to, you know, everybody that, you know, that was instrumental in my career at Michigan State, everybody that I pretty much played with, I want to see how many people I can get to come back.
That's awesome stuff. I'm curious, Coach D, did you hear from Coach D at all?
No, I haven't heard from Coach D.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the other coaches that, you know, that was on staff, you know, they reached out to me and congratulated me, you know, so... you know, and they keep rolling in.
Right, exactly. Folks, again, we are talking with the most decorated running back in the history of Michigan State football. It was just announced that the two-time first-team All-American and, again, Michigan State's all-time leading rusher, Lorenzo White, has been elected to the College Football Hall of Fame. So, Lorenzo, I'm wondering how the process goes from here. You got the notification in the mail that you are a part of this class, features 13 players, two coaches. What's the schedule like for you now?
Well, they haven't sent it out yet, but mm-hmm. you know, I talked with like several former, you know, Spartans that who's also on, you know, into Hall of Fame. So they reached out to me and told me it's going to be a fun time, and you know, it's. You know, December the 10th when the ceremony, and I'm not sure about the one in Atlanta.
Right. Yeah. Cause, the ceremony on December 10th, that's going to be the 62nd, annual awards dinner at the New York Hilton Midtown in New York City. Because I'm sure there's like a press tour, and you know, and also of course you will be giving a speech, right, Lorenzo? So how does the preparation start for the speech? I'm curious.
I got a little while to put that together.
You do.
so the good thing about it is I'll have fun with this with my former teammates. You know, I guess they're gonna have a lot of input in what I say, I guess.
That is great stuff. All right, Lorenzo, before I get you out of here, you know, we've had because this is the first time you've come on Current Sports. We actually had your son, though, on the show. I believe it was sometime last year, and we were talking about, you know, his stint in the Canadian Football League. But I'm curious, Lorenzo. I mean, when you talk to your son and you know, the youth in general, and they look at your story and what you were able to accomplish as an athlete, what do you say, you know, to young athletes out there and to your son about the work that it takes to be successful in athletics or in just life, period?
It takes, you know, just like, you know, I tell them, you know, you gotta love what you do. You know, and that's in anything. You know, I mean, I love football. I see people, you know, I'm a part of guys that they just like it. But I love the game, and I work hard on my craft, you know, just for the game so I could be the best. And so when I'm out there, when I was out there coaching them, I wanted to, that's what I demanded. I mean, I want your A game all the time. And it's going to be some things that, you know, it's going to be some, you know, some rough spots along the way, but it's how you play through them rough spots, you know, to get back on top. I mean, because that's just like life, you know. No matter, I mean, I don't care how good you got it. I mean, you can have all the money in the world, but when you get sick, what good is it? So you gotta, you know, like I said, you gotta have your head on and you gotta work hard.
That's so true. Work hard. That's the message right there. Lorenzo, on behalf of us all here at WKAR's Current Sports, congratulations, my man. And we'll talk to you as the date draws near when you're officially inducted, all right?
Thank you.
All right, MSU's all-time leading rusher, Lorenzo White, headed to the College Football Hall of Fame, or part of the 2019 College Football Hall of Fame class. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's Current Sports. We'll take some of your calls, and we'll reflect on the week that has been in the sports world and beyond. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with Lorenzo White, MSU's all-time leader in rushing, two-time first-team All-American, the 1987 Big Ten MVP, finished fourth in the Heisman Trophy balloting twice back in 85 and 87. Lorenzo White, a part of the 2019 College Football Hall of Fame class. If you happen to miss that chat, first off, where you been? But if you did, all you got to do is just listen to the podcast version of WKAR's Current Sports, which will be available courtesy of WKAR.org, usually around about 3 p.m. So check out that chat. Always good checking in with Lorenzo. First time he's been here on the air, though. I know his son. And, you know, we've been trying to work on having Lorenzo on the show for a long time. Just kind of forgot about it. And then this news pops off and Lorenzo said that he would love to be a part of the hour. So that was great stuff. And again, congratulations to Lorenzo White. All right. Before we get to Reflection Friday, let's go to our phone lines right now. We do have one of our dear friends and callers. It is the one, the only, Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up, my man?
Al, I ain't talked to you in a while. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my friend. Yes, it's been a minute. I was out. This is my first day back, actually, this week. I was out in Vegas for a wedding celebration. So it feels good to be back, Ray.
I want you to give me a couple minutes, okay? I got a story for you that you won't believe.
Okay, tell me. What's up?
Do you remember a guy named Greg Maddison that played
coach
under Lloyd Carr back in the 90s?
Of course, of course.
Okay, I was a huge Michigan fan from the 60s all the way to 2006 when they canned me, okay?
Right.
And I was down there. I used to take off every day and when I worked in the shop for picture day and have my daughter take pictures with the players. Well, I'm taking pictures, and I've been ripping him for like 4 or 5 years on the radio, WTAK, AM, 1050 AM, and he taps me on the shoulder, and he said, "Hey, Ray, I don't listen to radio, but I don't like what you're saying about us. And this and that. We're the best coaches in the country." I said, "Well, why? How come Nebraska can win a national title every year and we can't win one?" He said, "Oh, they got 100 walk-ons." That's the excuse he used. Okay, so a few months later, we pulled the biggest upset ever at Ohio State. We were 28-point underdogs, won 13-9. That was the first time I handed that blessing out about my mom. And the next year, my son gave that to Charles Woodson, and on the way home from picture day, he said, "Dad, wouldn't it be something? He won the Heisman, we won the national title," which we did both. I went to the Rose Bowl and won. He went to Notre Dame. He said his excuse was he left Notre Dame. Lloyd Carr threw his cleats in the basket, told him to get the hell out of the office.
Greg Maddison.
He goes to Notre Dame 3 years, 2 years of Florida. He somehow talks Rich Rodriguez, Brady Hoke, and Jim Harbaugh to put him on. For 8 years, he's been a defensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he left, and you know what school he went to?
Ohio State, the rival.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can you believe what kind of weasel that guy is? This is the thing that cripes me about these coaches. They want their loyalty, but yet they're going all over the United States, all these other teams, making tons of money off these kids.
Yeah, that's college sports for you, Ray. And yeah, I mean, yeah, Greg Maddison, that was pretty surprising. I mean, I didn't see him going to Ohio State of all schools after, you know, coaching under Jim Harbaugh for those years. But, you know, it's all about moolah. I mean, his annual salary is close to $1 million, Ray. It's
right.
Amazing how much money these coaches make. He makes $750,000 a year. That's pretty mind-boggling, Ray.
Well, yeah, you know, sir, the only team he ever won at was Baltimore Ravens. He never won at Michigan. He never won at Notre Dame. He never won at Florida. How can these guys keep getting jobs when they really don't produce their productive?
Yeah, no, I hear you. There's a lot of factors that weigh into that, and, you know, a lot of that has to do with the head coach and how comfortable the head coach, the kind of relationship that head coach has with the assistant.
It's just like the NFL. I got all these young kids, 35, and a lot of them have got losing records and everything, and yet they can't find a black coach to coach.
Yeah, that's a whole other topic. I could do a whole segment on that one, Ray.
Well,
but
I know.
I'm with you.
It's crazy.
It is. All right, Ray.
All right, buddy.
Thank you so much for
the
call.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. You do the same. Yeah. But yeah, that was very shocking, Connor, to see Greg Maddison, you know, formerly of the Michigan coaching staff, going to the rival in Ohio State. Also pretty surprising. I don't know if you saw this, but Dan Enos is going to the U. Dan Enos, and I really thought, I was kind of clinging on some hope, you know, at some point that Dan Enos would somehow, some way make his way back to Michigan State. And, you know, this dude is highly regarded. Of course, he was on Nick Saban's coaching staff, and now he's going to the U. And I'm pretty sure if you take somebody from Nick Saban's coaching staff in Alabama, I mean, that takes money. It takes a lot of money. And Dan Enos, I'm sure, is getting paid, going to be getting paid at Miami. So congratulations to him. But a lot of moving and shaking, man. Just not, I guess, here at Michigan State, but in a different way. So shocking. I didn't think Greg Maddison was going to go to Ohio State.
I think it was funny that Ohio State poached him.
It's hilarious.
I mean, that's a big power play by was Ryan Day on like day two of his job.
Right? That's a huge power play, man. And as we come to a close here, and I know that this was the premise of Tuesday's current sports. I just could not believe what I saw in the national championship, Connor. I mean, I was on the plane watching this, and First off, the first 5 minutes, there was something crazy, like three touchdowns scored. I couldn't believe
it was
that.
It was 14-14 with like half the first quarter still there.
Right. Just a gun show, right? I mean, just ball being launched down the field left and right. But to see, you know, Alabama, and they're the team that I thought, you know, was going to win the entire enchilada. I chose them. 44-16 against Clemson. Man, props to Dabo Sweeney. I mean, you don't do that to Alabama. And I think it just is a testament to just how good of a coach he is and how good of a team Clemson is. But, you know, you throw up 44 points. You blow Alabama out in the national championship. And let's be real, Connor. This college football playoff was a snooze. It was, dude. I mean, these games, you know, weren't competitive. I mean, the best game was Alabama and Oklahoma, the 45-34 game. But, you know, you look at the rest of them, you know, Clemson, Notre Dame, blowout, the national championship, blowout. I mean, gosh, something has to be done. Change has to happen. And it is kind of cool, though, to see Bama lose, though. I will say that.
It's great.
It is great, isn't it? Bama. And don't get me wrong, Clemson has beaten Alabama before. I'm just saying, I mean, you look at this Alabama team this year, and I really thought it wasn't even going to be close in the other way, other direction. I thought Alabama was going to blow out Clemson, but man, oh, man, was I wrong. So just wanted to note that we are out of time. Well, like I said, it feels good to be back. I'm going to comment next week on MSU men's basketball because, you know, right now this is a team that seems to be finding its footing and really figuring out who it is. You know, you look at this, the 77-59 blowout that occurred, like 3 days ago. Quite impressive. And Sunday, Michigan State men's basketball will travel to Penn State. That's going to be a 4:30 p.m. Tip time. And I believe Coach Chambers, did he get suspended for that game, Connor? For the shove? He got suspended.
I'm not sure.
He got suspended one game, and it may be the Michigan State game.
That'd be big.
So, yeah. He was caught on video shoving a player. Tom Izzo had some interesting thoughts on that. He thought it was absolutely ridiculous that Pat got suspended. I thought it was a bit of an overreaction as well. So, we'll recap that game on Monday's Current Sports, and I'll give you my thoughts on the whole Pat Chambers shoving incident. But that and more, folks. We'll have a complete recap of week two in the NFL playoffs. Should be a fun weekend. Go Cowboys. Have a good weekend. And as always, be easy, people.